be talking all things NFL. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Not seeing any of my grandkids.
Well,
we're going to start using that euphemism now.
Well, that is very good. So, Charles, we've talked a lot about that today here on the show. It's been quite the weekend for Urban Meyer. And the press conference yesterday was something else. While all sorts of different angles of videos came out yesterday on social media as well. I guess my question for you is, what have you made of this entire situation, and what happens next? And we talked earlier in the show. Dan Orlovsky on ESPN said yesterday if he was a player in that locker room, he wouldn't want to play for Urban Meyer anymore. There's talk now about closed-door meetings in Jacksonville and maybe a morality clause coming up. What do you think happens from here with Urban Meyer and the Jags?
Well, I will say that every press conference, he just appears to be having a wonderful time. He really seems to be enjoying coaching in the NFL level. I he leads the nation in press conferences staring at his shoes. Like, it's amazing how miserable he already appears. And we're four games into his NFL tenure. I look, the video itself, not a great look. Obviously, it's not anything that violates the personal conduct, policy or anything like that. As I've kind of said, maybe a morality clause in your marriage. Like, I'm sure he's got plenty to talk about with his wife. And, I thought his explanation of, being asked to dance and then, hey, other angles of the video come out and you're like, this interesting way that people in Ohio ask each other to dance, apparently.
Like, ask him to dance, yeah, so he'll stop groping, I guess.
Yeah, right. I'm like, really? That's how you get that done in Ohio? I'm dancing around it here. I mean, it's awful. Like, when something like that comes out, it's awfully embarrassing for your franchise. But it comes down to how embarrassed is your ownership at this point? Because, as I've said, like, the rigid mandate in the NFL, it's about winning. Like, it's about winning and losing. And then the flexibility is kind of gifted to the moral compass. But the two can affect each other. And the more you lose, the less flexible the moral compass becomes. And, given that this was a guy who, hires a strength and conditioning coach who's, was last stop at Iowa, produced a racial discrimination lawsuit. And then, Urban brings the guy aboard. He resigns. And the first thing Urban says is, like, we didn't need a distraction. I'm like, oh, my God, like, out of your own mouth. Last February, you say that. And since then, the number of distractions, big and small, that Urban has, created himself has been pretty amazing. And this one, though, is just for him to, in that press conference, talk about what he told Trevor Lawrence about his bachelor party in Las Vegas and, being careful and watching the people around him. I'm like, I can't even believe he admitted that. Like, it was like he shoveled more dirt on himself in the middle of a press conference. And you sit there and you're like, does this guy want to get fired at this point? Like, what is he trying to, lose the job? Like, not flying back on the team flight. And then this happening in the wake of that, particularly coming off a game where you're competitive, your number one draft pick quarterback had, I think, his strongest game of the season. Stats weren't, hammered. It wasn't like the hammer was down with the stats, but he looked good. He led well. I thought he looked strong and confident. You should be talking about that. And instead, we're talking about this. And, I don't know, Dan Orlovsky saying, like, players in that locker room, I don't know if I'd want to play for Urban Meyer, all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like there's some pearl clutching that goes on in the NFL because we act like it's this league of, like, there's not a moral turpitude factor in the NFL, but I wrote about it today. I'm like, hey, we were just talking about Robert Kraft being on video. There's legal, he's going through a legal case because he's supposedly on video soliciting prostitution. Before that, it's Jim Irsay driving around with 29 grand in a briefcase and a trash bag and, bottles of meds in his car. Before that, it's, every you know, there's how many videos of Jerry Jones where you're kind of like wincing, you know, Jerry Richardson had to sell a team because of things that he said, you know, that were completely out of pocket inside his organization. Dan Snyder has been stripped of the power to, you know, stripped of basically power to operate, you know, for the Washington franchise. And that's just the owners. Like, we haven't even gotten to the players. It wasn't that long ago that there was an assistant coach for the Dolphins doing cocaine lines off a desk on a video. Like, where this ranks, let's be honest, where this ranks, not really in the top 100 or maybe 1,000 worst things that we've seen in the NFL the last 10 years. Now, is it a train wreck? Yeah, because he's been bad at, in Jacksonville. And they have the greatest natural or the greatest resource they've ever gotten in Trevor Lawrence ever in the history of that franchise. And to me, if he wants to whitewash the situation, every other thing he's done that's been bad there, get Trevor Lawrence on the right track. By the end of the season, people will have forgotten all this stupid stuff. Maybe his wife won't have, but everybody else will have.
Well, that's the thing. Like this, and I don't know, who was it, Michael Lombardi?
Yeah.
It's something about these closed-door meetings right now on Twitter. Like, to me, if the ownership has any thought at all about this being that impactful, it's only because they have determined, and it's very early to determine this, but hey, this is an interesting franchise, that like he's just not going to get it done. I mean, you can't possibly know that right now, right? I think?
You know, it depends on – we've seen other things report. You know, Jason Lockett for, you know, weeks ago reported some stuff that, you know, if this stuff's all factual, it sounds like there's been a lot of ineptitude inside the franchise since he's gotten there. I don't think it's – I will tell you this, the read on his coaching staff, when you talk to people around the league, not you know, people aren't very impressed with the coaching staff he put together. You know, some of the things that he's done personnel-wise, like I you know, I criticize him for drawing out a quarterback competition that made no sense whatsoever. And then you deal the guy who supposedly you were thinking about starting. Like, you know, you give Trevor Lawrence first team snaps and tell everybody the second he walked in the door, that's the starting quarterback. Get on board. We're going to develop him from literally the second we have a chance to start developing him as a starting quarterback. Instead, Urban played games. You know, the Travis Etienne thing, like, oh, we're going to, you know, try him out at wide out again. Dan Wetzel and I talked about this one day, and Dan's like, man, if you had paid attention to this guy at Ohio State consistently, he's like, and Florida, he just creates an environment of chaos, and he likes to live in the middle of that. And this is no different than anything else, any other stop. The only difference is, you know, he can't control the narrative. And when I was thinking about it yesterday, I was talking to another league source, and he made a really good point. He said, you know, it's funny. He said, if you screw up at Ohio State or you lose a game or whatever, he said, you're going to put 40 on somebody the next week. You're going to beat somebody by 40 the next week, and it immediately quiets down some of the detraction. Like, it's the end of the world at Ohio State the second you lose your first game because you might not win the national championship, but you can rebound pretty quickly into your own strength. It's not like that in the NFL. You got a bad team, you lose. You might lose 6 or 7 more in a row, and you're living in a world of hurt, and that's what he is experiencing now. This is completely different than anything Urban Meyer's ever experienced in his life, not being able to control the narrative and then living in just abject failure like one week after another, and now he's piling on, you know, to it with just stupid decisions.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, are you buying the Dallas Cowboys as a legitimate threat in the NFC?
Oh, yeah, in the NFL. I mean, I think this is the Cowboys' offense with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard playing the way they are, with the strength of the offensive line. And remember, Lyle Collins is still suspended, but, you know, I talked to a pro personnel guy who did some advanced work on the Cowboys yesterday, and he was saying that Terrence Steele, their right tackle, who was, you know, in many ways struggled, like, and that's being kind, last season, has turned into one of their most improved players this year. So now when Lyle Collins comes back, gives you some flexibility on an already healthy offensive line. Maybe keep Steele at right tackle, move Collins to guard, where he crushed it earlier in his career. You know, offensively, like I said, the wide receivers, even without Michael Gallup, have been great. All the way down the depth chart, you have the tight ends are now creating problems for opponents. They use Connor McGovern, a guard, as a fullback. So they're starting to do some things creatively that we haven't seen. And that's just the offense. The defense is what I worried about. But Trevon Diggs he looks like a lockdown quarterback, a cornerback, like a top 3-4 cornerback in the league right now. You have Micah Parsons, who they flexed to defensive end kind of just because they had to when DeMarcus Lawrence went down. And he's been brilliant in that position. So now you have a linebacker with edge rush flexibility. Randy Gregory, you know, comes out, gets a couple sacks against the Carolina Panthers. I thought it was telling that the Panthers, very good team, very good defense. Matt Rhule came out and was like, he was asked about Dak Prescott, and he was like, no, man, it's Zeke. He's like, we stacked the box and could not stop that guy. I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically was like, we did everything we could to stop them running and could not stop them running, and that destroyed basically what we could do from a continuity standpoint on defense. I think the Cowboys are definitely a team that they're going to be a handful for everybody, not just offensively, but when DeMarcus Lawrence comes back, you have all these other players that are starting to show their ability to kind of lead and star in that defense. They're a far better team than I thought. It was sort of like a 50-50 proposition. You know, maybe they'll be good on offense, bad on defense, and that's how you end up with a middle-of-the-road team. But they're a lot better on defense than I thought, a lot more talented.
Well, I'll bring it local here, Charles. How bad is it to lose to the New York Jets?
I'll say this. The Jets defensive line, the front end of it, I had not seen them look that good all season long. And I don't know if that's a function of – I mean, obviously we saw the breakdowns of the Tennessee Titans offensive line. So I don't know if it's a function of just Tennessee's offensive line playing poorly or the – you know, the Jets have talent on the front end of that defense. You know, those first-round picks have been invested in that defense. And, you know, Robert Saleh, I mean, that's – if you're looking at San Francisco right now and you're like, hey, what's the thing that's really missing, particularly from the defense – it was how I saw the Jets play, you know, up front in this game. So it's not good. I mean, obviously, I was fine going to overtime. I thought, hey, you got momentum back on your side. You know, I expected the Titans to take it over overtime and win the game, and then it didn't happen. And, you know, I just think, again, we've talked about the offensive line before. It's hard to fix something like that in the middle of the season. It just is not – if you're trying to fix your offensive line in the middle of a season and it's not a situation where there's just missing pieces and, oh, they're going to come back off of IR and that's going to change things. But everybody's out there and they're fighting through whatever their problems are, be it injuries or, you know, just issues in execution. It's very hard to fix that. So to me, that's what I'd be worried about with the time. I mean, if you just want to boil it down to like one basic thing, I'd just say that offensive line not being consistent. Like, I thought they'd turned a corner, and then you come into this game, and I'm just like, man, it's Tannehill has no time, and it's a Jets team that has been fairly, I don't want to say toothless, but it looked like world beaters, you know, and Tannehill to me looked like he was running for his life in the limited cutups I saw in the game, so. It's tough. I mean, the Titans are going to have to figure out a way to, you know, I don't know if you shuffle it. You just hope maybe there's some guys that are still not fully healthy. I don't know the guys round into health during the season. And I would say it's going to be another off season of trying to figure out how you can fix that. They're going to have to attack it kind of the way the Chiefs did last year. I really truly believe that. The Chiefs were like, our offensive line was a mess, and we can't let that ever happen again. Chiefs went out and spent a ton of money and put all their energy into addressing the line in front of Patrick Mahomes, and I think that's something the Titans are probably going to have to just bite the bullet and do.
Charles, last thing for you here. What did you make of the Brady return to Foxborough, and are you concerned yet if you're a Bucs fan about the amount of injuries, specifically on defense, that continue to pile up?
Yeah, I mean, the injuries definitely – you know, they win that game and they come out of it, but I know Bruce Arians said Richard Sherman played well, which probably true considering a guy walks off the street and in a couple of days he's a starting corner. They threw at him a lot, and he's going to get that until I think he can show, you know, he can be a little more effective, especially, you know, he plays a lot of off coverage. And, you know, I just think they – I don't know how they're going to overcome, you know, this the spate of injuries in the secondary. When you think about the run they went on last year, they were so remarkably healthy over the course of the season. I think that really helped them gain that momentum down the stretch. It's been the opposite this year. They're just not healthy at all. And, you know, Brady, I didn't think it was his greatest game. I kind of thought Mac Jones looked better, to be honest with you, if you're just comparing the quarterbacks in a one-off and also the pieces that they have to throw to, the skill position pieces around him. But I also think if there was a game I ever saw Tom Brady look tight, like just look like he was in his head, that he really probably wanted to win a lot and yeah. tried really hard to not act like that, that was absolutely this game. He looked like he was just really tight out there and missing some throws and you know, just doing things that he hadn't been doing earlier in the season. And I think a lot of it had to just be the pressure. Plus, at the end of the game, you know, the kick hits the upright. You could see he's super excited about it. It's clearly a game he cared a lot about, and I'm sure he hopes, I don't ever want to have to do that again. Like, that's the last time I want to go come back into Gillette.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every week at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Take
Absolutely.
Care.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. When we come back, we'll react to what Charles had to say there. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Playoff baseball finally here. And this October, you can make every moment matter more with FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, all customers get a $10 same-game parlay bet bonus. Just place a $20 same-game parlay bet on either wild card game and get a $10 bonus win or lose. You got the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Cardinals and the Dodgers. Give me the Yankees and the Dodgers, unfortunately. I think both of those teams get it done, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's so easy to use. They've got live betting options as well, and they've got great odds boosts and specials for you to take advantage of every day. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB, so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days, a max bonus of $10, plus 400 odds for final price or longer required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off of gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slims, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. All eyes on Urban Meyer today. We'll see what ends up coming down on this. We talked about the tweets earlier from Michael Lombardi suggesting that maybe some closed-doors meetings going on down in Jacksonville that have nothing to do with the Titans, and maybe even Urban Meyer's job being discussed. That would really be something 4 games into a season.
I mean, but you know, what are you saying about yourself if you were to make this move? I mean, to Charles, I think, put it in good context. This is a bad look, okay? This video is a bad look. It's incredibly stupid and ridiculous of Urban Meyer. But, like, I mean, this is – like, you are saying, I completely screwed this up. This guy can't win. And I have determined that after completely screwing it up after a month of football with a team that went 1-15 last year. So, basically, I'm an overreacting panicker and should not be trusted to make any more moves for this franchise. And, yes, I should sell it. I'm sorry. Duval. That's about it. That's what you're saying.
But doesn't that kind of sound like what they've been the last few years?
You're just confirming. You are confirming it. Yeah, so ultimately, I don't think that you're – I think you're probably not going to make that statement, but I think Charles has a good point. Like, better show some – just show some good Trevor Lawrence stuff this year, some sign of hope.
And hopefully,
people will. Well, they won't stop talking about the video. They won't stop making amazing memes like
Dennis,
yes. Dennis.
Any team that plays Jacksonville will be in that meme.
Yeah.
They'll probably be one of the Tennessee Titans in them next week.
Maybe so.
Or this week.
Well, you're hoping if you're the Titans, number one, you've got to rebound and focus on yourself anyway, because this is an important response game for the Titans coming up against Jacksonville, especially when you factor in what's coming behind the Jaguars on the schedule. But, you know, there should be motivation enough if you're the Titans based on what just happened to you last week. But you also don't want to be the team that in the middle of all this, you go out and Trevor Lawrence throws for 360 and four touchdowns against you. And then you're in a world of hurt if you're the Titans.
Right. Yeah, if you're the Titans, you probably aren't spending a lot of time laughing at this video.
I mean,
maybe a minute, right? I mean, it's just like anything. Like, if you got free time, you know, Taylor Lewan can go do a podcast. People should not have a problem with it. So, if the Titans want to have some fun with this, that's fine. You just got to focus and do your work at the same time.
That's right. Heidi from Dixon texting into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hear me out, Joe. The Vols throw whatever money it takes at Urban Meyer and get him here when the Jags eventually drop him. We know he can coach college great, and that's what the Vols need, an established coach instead of taking all these flyers on trash coaches. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon. So if Urban gets the axe from Jacksonville, Danny White making the call.
Well, hey, if cell phone if cell phone videos were as as readily accessible and back in like 2009 as they are now.
What could have happened with the Lane train?
My goodness, yeah. Like the Lane train is just laughing at Urban on this thing, you know.
He's got his popcorn ready.
It actually is an interesting thought, Heidi. Is there a long-suffering, kind of middling college program out there that sees this as an opportunity? Like, hey, he wants to, you know, to sort of put this behind him and we can bring him in, and he's a great college coach. Of course, at some point you're not the same. Like, you know, your career goes a certain way, and then maybe you're not as effective. But I like the thought, Heidi. Hey, real quick on something Charles said, which I thought was interesting on the offensive line. He said that the Titans would have no choice but to basically like go out and free agency themselves to a better offensive line. That's an interesting point. I don't know that I agree with him, but they could be very different up front next year.
Well, I can tell you this. If things don't get better, you're going to free up some cap space because Taylor Lewan won't be here. I mean, it's as simple as that. If he doesn't play better and this line doesn't play better, Taylor Lewan's not going to be here. Now, the dead money would be $1 million. I don't know what the cap hit would be next year for the Titans.
Yeah.
If he were on the roster.
I can look that up. But, yeah, I mean, the next year is when you can get out of it and not just get crushed with the dead money for him. But, yeah, but you also have big numbers, of course, for Saffold and even for Ben Jones to a certain extent. So you could be very different.
And you know what you could have? Maybe another first-round draft pick on the offensive line. Could have one of those next year, too.
Well, but you really – You might have to, which is just a bad deal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so the cap number, the cap number for Lewan is basically $14 million this year. But Saffold is right there. I mean, Saffold's at 12, you know, and you can't completely remake the line. And if you do that, then you're going to go out and spend big money for, I mean, obviously, if you're confident in good players. I mean, John Robinson did – I think Saffold has been a good signing, right?
Yeah.
Ben Jones has been a good signing.
Sure.
Dennis Kelly was a good trade. Nate Davis was a good draft pick.
Taylor Lewan was a good draft pick.
Well, but he
Robinson.
Right, but Robinson didn't make that pick.
I'm just saying there was a time where he was pretty good.
Yes.
Contrary to popular belief.
Well, exactly. Hey, look, I still think he could be good this year. It's more likely than not to be at least – pretty good this year, and if not, then it's going to go poorly for all involved. But Robinson has actually done good things to build an offensive line until recently, when it's gone completely the other way.
Yeah, Michelle, you sent us the all-time uniform record rankings with the Titans that has been put out there by the Titans Uni Tracker.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, the navy and white combo that just got torched by the Jets. 38-29 all time.
Oh. Is that the best?
It is. I think win percentage-wise, it may be the best.
Wow.
The Navy-Navy combo is 21-15. Yeah. Now, you got to remember, the Navy-White combo, a lot of that was used when Eddie George and Steve McNair were playing.
That was their
primary jersey. Navy tops, white pants.
Yeah.
So they did a lot of winning.
Yeah, different team.
Yeah.
Similar uniform.
The light blue on light blue, which, it's all right, 3-6. The light blue on navy pants, 34-19.
See, that's their best uniform. And their best winning.
Okay, well, my favorite's the white on white, and it's 0-2, so.
Well, that's like the different white on white. The white on white, mono white, 6-9.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Where'd you get this?
At Titans Uni on Twitter.
Okay.
Maybe worth a follow.
I'll follow at Titans Uni. If you've got an Urban Meyer meme for me, I will follow you today.
Right. When we come back, we'll switch gears and get a little bit into the Nashville Predators. An impressive showing the other night against the Lightning. But why there's one combination that they tried that I do not want to see when the regular season begins. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe Rex Road, I was in the house at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday night to watch the Predators take down the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, Tampa had, I think, maybe two or three guys that dressed that were NHL players, so it was basically the AHL team for Tampa Bay coming up. Lots of regulars in the lineup for the Predators on Saturday. They played well, got a lot of looks on the penalty kill, a lot of looks on the power play, some special teams really a factor in that game on Saturday night, but they get it done 6-1. UC Saros played, looked pretty good in that for the Predators. So all was well so far in the preseason. They did have an interesting combo on Saturday night that I think a lot of fans want to see, that I have been very hesitant to say that the Predators should try this combination out, but we saw it on Saturday. Elli Tolvanen, Cody Glass, Philip Tomasino. Obviously, those are three young guys that are very, I guess the right word would be, the Predators fans are very excited about those three guys and what they could potentially be for this group, both here in the short term and in the long term as well. Didn't look great together on Saturday night. And it's one preseason game. I realize that it takes a while to get a line going. But my hesitation with putting those three together on a line, which a lot of Predators fans want to do, and I understand why. But my hesitation is, I think you can have lines that are too young and that don't have the experience required to both be dangerous offensively on a consistent basis, but to also play responsibly defensively as well. And there were moments in that game where they just didn't look all that good, weren't on the attack. And John Hines basically said that after the game and was like, you know, they need to be better if they're going to be aligned. So I would not start off with Tolvanen, Glass, and Tomasino together on the line. And I don't think it's very likely that the Predators are going to go that way.
I didn't even consider that as like an actual possibility.
Oh, people think it is.
That, to me, that's a bad idea.
I mean, maybe I get the appeal of it, right? Because those are three guys that they've got some speed, especially in the case of Glass and Tomasino. They've got some speed. And then you've got Tolvanen with a shot, which, by the way, he ripped one on the power play the other night right off the crossbar. So right in that spot where we saw him ripping it last year, he's going to be a weapon on the power play this year. But that just, I think it makes more sense when you start looking at specifically the top six. I feel pretty good about saying that they're going to start with Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne as a line. Don't know that, but I'd be surprised if that's not the way they start on opening night. So then, what do you do on that second line? Granlund played at center the other night. I can see him moving to the wing. I can see them keeping him at center. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I think Granlund is going to be in the top six. So are you putting Cody Glass up there, or are you putting Granlund back at center and leaving Cunnin up there? Which, by the way, Cunnin scored the other night. So some interesting decisions that John Hines is going to have to make. And if you do put Granlund and Cunnin back together, then you do have Cody Glass and Philip Tomasino and Ellie Tolvanen just kind of floating out there.
Well, wait a minute. Well, right. But so are you are you not assuming Tolvanen's up with
them? He could be.
With Granlund?
He could be.
Yeah, because I just I guess I figured Tomasino would probably have a little bit less pressure and ice time and play like on whatever the third line looks like.
I'd say that's probably the most likely route at this point. I think he's going to make the team. That would be the most likely route. Now you also have, I mean, they tried out Tanner Janot on basically the top line the other night. Just, I mean, you know, Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg didn't play Saturday.
You protect the guy. He's
well.
Been,
that's what I'm saying. Well, I say that
line.
Because it was intriguing to me because, you know, I've talked about it. I don't necessarily love the idea of all four members of the herd line playing at the same time with Olivier, Janot, Trennan, and Sissons. But I mean, Janot did show a little bit offensive push last year. I've wondered if maybe they try to give him a look at a higher role. I don't love the idea, but I wonder if that's something they might do.
And so watching him play now, do you think that that's like remotely feasible?
I would not say that it's not remotely feasible. I would say that is not where I would start. Tanner Janot, could he play on the third line and be effective? Probably. And maybe that makes sense where you've got Cody Glass, and maybe you do put him with Tomasino, and Janot's your third guy, and he's more of the let's be defensively responsible, let's check everything in sight.
You guys skate around, and I'll
just bowl through
everyone.
Could be. I don't know. Maybe that's the way you go.
There's a line I had never considered. Glass, yeah. Tomasino, and Janot. Okay.
It's interesting.
Okay.
They got a lot of options.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. I think it's like people want to see the young guys, right? For sure.
Yep.
Together, I think you're asking for trouble there.
Well, and
right
then
away, but go ahead.
Well, there's a guy that we just don't talk about anymore that was in there on Saturday night, scores a goal, makes a great play with an assist. Scores in the shootout, which they did a shootout because that's what they do in the preseason. Rocco Grimaldi, he's out there skating around, looks fast, looks good. Does he find a role for himself consistently at all this year? That's going to be my question because, you know, I asked John Hines about it after the game, and John Hines went into detail of, you know, playing with the puck, we're very confident in Rocco Grimaldi. It's playing without it. Can you play without the puck and be defensively responsible? And you look at his analytics, his numbers last year defensively were bad. They were not good. And that's obviously very important to John Hines. Can Grimaldi play better in that area? And like realistically, and I know we don't talk about the size thing as much anymore because when you can skate in the NHL, you've got a spot. But he's 5'6", 180 pounds. Like how effective defensively can you really be when you're 5'6", and 180 pounds?
John Hines has I think, proved very for size and muscle and not as much for small guys. I mean, whenever a GM makes moves, I'm always assuming there's a pretty strong communication with the coach, and the Preds just got rid of their two star little guys.
Yeah.
So I have not even considered Grimaldi.
Yeah.
But you're right.
You're not alone.
But he does bring something.
Yeah. I mean, look, he can score. Now, you've got to do more than that, and we understand that. But Rocco, look, he's going to play this year. How consistently is he going to play? Like, right now, as the roster stands, I don't see him being in the lineup every night. Which, you know, a few years ago, it was a given that he was going to be in the lineup. I don't know that that's the case anymore. And then, you know, they've trimmed the roster down to 33, and they put some guys on waivers yesterday, and if they clear, that roster is going to get trimmed down even more. So they're getting close to what the lineup is going to start to look like as the season rolls around. Igor Afanasyev, he's hanging around in camp. He's been pretty good so far.
You surprised Rem Pitlick was waived?
Not really. I mean, you know, everybody just assumes he's going to get picked up today too. I don't know that he's going to get picked up. He might, but I think there's a chance he finds a way through. He's just, I look around right now, I don't see a spot for him. And at some point, you got to find a way to break through.
So is that more a comment on maybe he was oversold, or more a comment on there's some other guys who are pleasantly surprising?
That could be a little bit of both. Like, I would have thought Pitlick would have broken through by now, and that honestly, like, this training camp is a pretty good opportunity for him to break through, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case, at least to start. We'll see what happens on that front, but not looking good for him right now with this group. So Predators back in action tonight, going down to Carolina. One more at home on Saturday against Carolina as well, and then got some practice time, and the season begins on October 14th. So we're just a few weeks away now for some regular season hockey back in the table.
It's next week.
Yeah. I guess we're not a few weeks away. It is next week, next Saturday.
My gosh.
It gets here quick.
Wait a minute. October 14th?
Excuse me, next Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
I can't do math.
I was like, wait a minute. Something's not adding
up
here.
It's next Thursday. That's why I got into journalism. I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah, I'm with you.
When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Gator Tim.
I bet they're good.
On the text line. Please bring Urban Quitter to Tennessee. Vols fans deserve this idiot. So not Urban Meyer, Quitter.
Not a Vols fan, then.
Hey, no.
Well, he's Gator Tim.
Gator Tim, how'd you like that game?
Yeah. I guess I could listen to
Look at Michelle getting a shot in there, too.
Yeah. You're getting some shots in today. I like it.
Gator Tim also saying, the Preds have a lot of options for the bottom six. Too bad they don't have much of a top six.
Well,
there is that. Where are the goals going to come from?
If the big two don't play like the big two, then that's true.
Yeah.
I just made a rhyme.
You did. Josh from White House texting in, what are the odds Lawan was to come back and it's just like suck up all over again? So I guess Josh saying, if the Titans move on from Lawan and he comes back and plays really well, what are the odds that happens?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible that, you know, who knows, this year could just be a wash. I mean, I don't think that'll happen, but it hasn't been very good for most of his time on the field. So he's still got – I mean, he's still – it's not like he's ancient. He could still be good somewhere else, but I also
– there are also 13 games left this year for him to try to figure this out as well.
But the question I do have on that is, how good does he have to be for them to stay committed to him? But the other question on the other side of that is, okay, so you want to go search for a left tackle?
How's that gone?
Right.
Searching for any tackle.
I mean, it's very easy to say, get him out of here. He's not good enough. He doesn't earn that money. But again, who are you getting there? How much are you paying them? And what does that do to your offense if you can't find someone you know is good? There's still plenty of time for him to keep himself here.
Ron texting in, if you had to choose an NHL team to be in the thick of things, come in the playoffs and win it all, who would it be? I'm trying to pick a team to enter a competition we're having at work. Well, we'll get to our Stanley Cup picks next week
at some point.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, off the top of my head, there are a few that stand out, but, I mean, there is a team that's won two cups in a row that looks pretty strong again this year.
They've lost some guys. You know, they've had to.
They brought in Corey Perry, so you know they're at least getting to the final.
Well, that means they're going to lose. They're going to lose in the final.
Could be.
Are you buying Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just too good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll figure it out.
They're kind of a classic example. And look, Tampa went through this for a while, too, of you're really good every regular season and you can't get it done in the playoffs. You know, Tampa, to varying degrees. I mean, they got to some conference finals and a Stanley Cup final as well. So it's a little bit different. But eventually, Colorado, I mean, they're just too good not to break through. They're eventually going to make a deep run. I'd be surprised if they don't.
They just need to say bleep it, man.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Looking forward to seeing him back on the beat this year. That'll be something. Oh, man. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vincent from Dixon texting in. Has anyone rushed for 2,000 yards in a 14-game season? Should all others after OJ have an asterisk by their name? So going back to if Derrick Henry breaks the all-time rushing record this year.
Right, yeah. No, it's a fair point. And that is, he is the only one, right? OJ the only one who did it in a 14? Yeah, 2003.
As he said on a very interesting Twitter feed as well that OJ Simpson operates.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I can't bring myself to follow him.
I don't either.
Although I'm sure it's very interesting. Yeah, it doesn't mean you don't see it. There's plenty of people I should just block that I don't want to see any of their crap. That's a good point. You know, all the other ones are 16. OJ certainly. I mean, does anyone think with OJ and that team, if he had two more games, that he wouldn't have the record over Eric Dickerson right now? He absolutely would.
Yeah.
So if Eric Dickerson is known as the guy who has the record now for 37 years, even though we all know that he wouldn't, then I guess Derrick Henry is just the guy with no asterisk if he gets it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If Derrick Henry goes back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons, I mean,
Hall of Fame.
There's no asterisk next to anything.
Alex on YouTube. Saffold is basically a tight end after that last game. We can't afford to give him two salaries. That's something we've not talked about. Great catch by Roger Saffold on Sunday in a screen pass. Intended for Roger Saffold.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
you turned upfield too.
Use your instinct. Yeah, ready to try to tackle me now. Maybe they need to scheme something up to get him the ball.
Yeah, maybe so. That was an interesting play.
Yeah, that was. I don't know exactly what happened on that one. That was one of those that didn't really get asked about because there's just so many other issues to get to first.
Yes, there were. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, make sure you remember hockey is back. And the Preds are painting the town gold beginning October 2nd, Bridgestone Arena, requiring all guests to show proof of their full COVID vaccination or a negative test within 72 hours of an event. More information on that can be found at bridgestonearena.com/clear. And make sure you get in on ticket action. Remember, the outdoor game coming up, the logo announced yesterday by the Predators and the NHL. The outdoor game coming up in February, the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series between the Preds and the Tampa Bay Lightning at Nissan Stadium. So now is the best time to become a season ticket citizen. For more information on Predators tickets, you can go to NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Good show today. We'll see by the time we get on the air tomorrow. What happens with Urban Meyer?
He is pure gold.
Yes, he is.
Pure like Duval.
Do we think he's going to have his job by this time tomorrow? I say yeah. I don't think they're going to fire him.
Yeah.
But you never know that guy, man.
They can't, right? They're not going to do that.
Oh, they can.
They can, but they're not going to do that. If so, it's about to pick up today. Quickly.
Yes, it is. We'll see what happens on that front. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. Make sure you stay tuned all day long to ESPN 102.5 The Game.